bullshit news.
Excuse me,
Your Honor.
You're out of order.
No bullshit news.
Charleston requested not yet dispatched. Your Honor, number 198.
No bullshit news.
The middle class is dying. And that's why Trump got elected.
No bullshit news.
Bring it, motherfucker. Now flank it off to the air.
No bullshit news.
Welcome back.
You've been working, Bob. That's a nice intro, dude. A
little bit.
What's this here, though? What's this, the tomahawk chop, chant here?
Well, in, you know, in light of the Covington kids and stuff on the mall, I thought I'd add that in.
Hi, Karen.
Hey, Charlie.
You know, people have a lot of, advice to give about the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like you should reintroduce everybody. I'm like, how many times are we supposed to tell people who we are? But it is the 20th.
But you may have a lot of new listeners, and so they may not know.
That's what I keep being told. So you are Karen Dumas. Karen, how do we explain you to people?
You don't.
I mean, you know, you're the right-hand woman to Mayor Dave Bing. You know, all things political in this town of Detroit.
Depth of knowledge.
Really smart. And what are you doing now for a living?
I am doing the No Bullshit News podcast with Charlie and Bob.
What else do you do, though? You like?
No, I continue to do. I consider myself a communication strategist.
Yeah, that's what you do.
That's what I do, and I do it very well. And I am quite busy, and you know,
branding, corporate strategy,
yeah,
all of it,
all of that. But what I do is real quiet. You know, a lot of people that do communications are always out in front and look at me, and I'm at the. I don't do parties. I don't do special events. You know, and the last thing that I do is probably publicity. Because there's so many things that benefit a client before they hit the airwave. So just real quiet, Charlie.
Yeah, but you're considered like the rock here, like the smart one when we go off on tangents. Like you actually finish the thought and say smart things.
And we appreciate that.
Well, that's okay. You know, I got to be the anchor, but it's okay.
And Bob, Shadow Bar, how do we portray you, bro? Who are you?
I'm a photographer. You and I used to go around and do some really interesting things, and we're still doing really interesting things.
Television photographer.
Television
and master editor. Really good at the, and a bad motherfucker, dude.
Meaningful things, Bob.
Bob once jumped out in the middle of a freeway. You know, it's like a highway because it had a stoplight, and Bob jumped out in front of a crooked congressman who ends up getting convicted and blocks the car.
Well, we needed the shot.
We needed the shot. And would you yell at him?
Oh, gosh.
Michael Grimm out of Staten Island.
Yeah, I remember.
Sir, why'd you do it? Did you steal it, sir?
Yeah.
Oh, it was hilarious.
He didn't like that.
No, he didn't.
He didn't.
Did he give you the finger?
No, but
driver?
I think the...
did I?
He just ignored me. And, but he couldn't ignore the pressure that came after that, so... We got him.
And not seen here, when you hear many of the produced audio pieces, that's Matt Phillips, another whiz photographer and editor.
We call him Mannix.
We call him Mannix. Follow him on Twitter. You figure it out.
MichiganEditor.com.
There you go.
You can follow us all on Twitter. We're all on Twitter.
Go ahead, give him your Twitter thing.
Just Karen Dumas, at Karen Dumas.
Bobby?
I'm not on Twitter.
Okay, good. And I don't care.
50 million followers, Charlie. That's why.
Well, it screws right. Me. It screw. You know, let me finish here. I'll tell you, Twitter screws me. Jason C is our tech guru, savvy guy. He's going places. He doesn't like his last name being used because he's a tech guru. And we got Joe, the 58-year-old intern, who we're training him to be a reporter because anybody can be a reporter if you read, you're interested, and you have a soul. And you're gonna see today, Joe, the intern. Grows a set and holds the chief of police feet to the fire.
He did a great job.
He did.
He's on top.
Remember, we've been working about fake crime numbers, and we deserve better. And we're also going to have former second deputy chief of police, Mike Woody, who is in charge of, there you go, Karen, just what you do, public strategy, selling the message. Doesn't work for the department anymore. He's going to come on and lay out how BS news gets manufactured. And how he located members of the press he had a stable.
And he had a plan.
People he could count on to get the message out,
mm-hmm.
which is not helpful to rank and file or to the public.
Well, people should keep that in mind, too, whenever they see or hear anything. You know, I mean, that it a lot of it is effective placement. A lot of it is based on relationships and positioning. So, yeah. You know, a lot of what people see and hear is subjective. I mean, that's just the reality. That's what it is. That's what sells. So,
yeah.
You mean you're willing to carry the water, the bullshit message without doing your work?
Some people are.
Huh?
Some people are.
Because, you know, we had, you know, we ran a million 911 calls. Nothing they're telling us lines up. Want to know what the average response time?
Well, and before you go into that, I just want to say, you and Steve Neveling from Muckraker and Deadline Detroit, you guys did a great job on that series. You nailed it.
Thank you.
You nailed it. And people should go check it out. It's on Deadline Detroit, the four-part series between Steve Neveling and Charlie LaDuff. They get into the numbers and the hardcore. What the fuck is going on?
Because you're out there on cold night. Look, man, when you're out on the streets, when you watch the news, it's a completely different story as to what's being said to you.
Yeah.
It's a fairy tale. And we're not going to get anything in this country right until we stop the fairy tale and the tribalism and the messaging and the Twitter.
And the narrative.
It's shit.
Narrative.
That's my code word for all this. It's the narrative.
Yeah.
All right, so here's listen, you go to www.nobsnewshour.com, click, listen, and rate it. Follow the steps, subscribe to the show, download an app to be able to download the podcast, and then you don't have to go to the website anymore.
But you can get it anywhere on Google Play, on the Apple App Store. I mean, you can get it anywhere.
You just can.
Shirts Podcast, Charlie LaDuff.
All right, and should we do one of our sponsors?
We should. We should give them a heads up.
Why don't we do the American Coney Island?
Delicious.
Because, well, I'll get to it. Listen to this. Because
it's lunchtime and we're hungry.
And if you want to get a little bit of Detroit for your Super Bowl party, listen to me. If you get this Sunday morning, you got till Sunday night at 9. If you get this Monday morning, forget it. Do it for another occasion. But if you want American Coney Island dogs coming to your door by 9 o'clock on Sunday night, you go to AmericanConeyIsland.com. American Coney Island, founded by Gus Karros in 1917, is Detroit's oldest family-run business. Yeah. And is the original home of the famous Detroit Coney dog with chili, mustard, and Vidalia onions. Located in downtown Detroit at Lafayette and Michigan Avenue, it is a favorite place of cops since the food there is always fresh, always delicious, and the joint is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's been featured on the Today Show, Andrew Zimmer's The Zimmer List, Iron Chef Michael Simon's Food Feuds, excuse me, and the Travel Channel's Food Wars, where it won Best Coney Dog in Detroit. They've also got all kinds of craft beer there. It's a good, clean, fun landmark. And remember, go to AmericanConeyIsland.com.
And the Coneys are delicious.
Oh, they're delicious.
And the bathrooms are clean.
Yes.
Somebody pointed that out the other day when they were talking about it. They said, you know, that makes a difference when you're in a restaurant. You know,
it's a huge difference. You know,
it's got clean bathrooms.
Absolutely.
And Grace gives excellent customer service. Yeah. She makes sure that every customer is satisfied. Any issues, she's going to resolve it on the spot.
Yeah.
And I'm the one that keeps those things functioning. You know, I'm the handyman down there.
Well, keep it up.
I work for a security guard.
I work for healthcare down there because, again, everything comes around.
Yeah.
I'm not doing bullshit news. So I'm going to do it this way, and you're going to see that you're in the right place, you're being informed, and when things come to pass, you're going to know. So we'll get to all that, right? So let me just clean this up here. First thing I want to do is we tape on Friday. You'll get it Sunday. But Roger Stone has just
Trump,
been...
Trump ally.
Just been indicted, arrested, charged this morning. For what, Bob?
For obstruction of justice, tampering with witnesses, and I think 5 counts of lying.
False statements, right?
False statements.
All to do with sort of that WikiLeaks email hack, what he knew, the Russian collusion. Does it even get close to Trump, or are they just getting him for lying about what he knew?
I don't know that it gets close to Trump today, but I don't see how it doesn't.
But Roger Stone also said that he would not testify against the president.
He did.
So if there is something that he has lied about or is hiding, they won't get it from him.
Well, but, I mean, how ballsy is it to say you're not going to testify against somebody on the first day that you're indicted and they arrest you?
The same way you walk out and do the tricky dick.
Yeah, it comes out of the courthouse in a blue polo shirt and his nicely, freshly dyed blonde hair. His fingers in the victory formation. Now, you know, with this program, anybody that's new, I don't like to do the news that everybody's doing, right? Because you can get that, you turn this thing off. That's why I did miss the kids from Kentucky at the Lincoln Memorial, because I don't...
We're going to talk about that later.
Yeah, I don't park on Twitter. I don't park on Twitter. I'm doing stuff, right? And when I see it, I see it. I don't have cable, right? Eventually, all of it gets to all of us, and I don't need to live a talking point life. But I do know Roger Stone. You've interviewed him. Oh, yeah, man, for the documentary we did for A&E about the militias, right? So let me tell you about Roger, though. Roger, he was tied up with Nixon. His name came up during the testimonies about Watergate. He answered the phone at his boss's house when it became apparent that the Watergate Five had been arrested. He's got a big grapefruit-sized tattoo of Nixon on his back. He worked for Reagan. He worked for Bush One. Was one of the guys behind the Willie Horton, you know, be afraid of black people.
Wasn't he fired by Bob Dole?
He ended up, okay, but after Bush got elected, he and Paul Manafort opened up a lobbying firm and monetized Washington, made millions lobbying the guy they helped get elected. Then he goes to work for Bush, or Dole, and he gets kicked off the campaign because it comes out he's putting out swinger ads.
Jeez.
Then he returns. Remember the dangling chads?
You can't make this stuff up, folks.
Remember the dangling chads in Florida?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Brooks Brothers riot, right? All the white guys in nice suits won't let him close the door, and we're watching. That was him. He's the guy that came up with Trump. He's been grooming Trump forever. He was the first campaign manager when Trump stepped in, remember? Till Trump took him out.
Yeah.
This guy's amazing. This guy's got... There's a Netflix movie called Get Me Roger Stone. You guys got to watch it just for a laugh. Okay? So here's Roger's...
Laugh or a cry.
Well, these are the guys behind it all, right? Here's some of Roger's rules. Unless you can fake sincerity, you'll get nowhere in politics. Politics isn't theater, it's performance art. Don't order fish at a steakhouse. White shirt plus tan face equals confidence. Admit nothing, deny everything, launch a counterattack. Get your carbs from booze, not sweets. Attack, 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 never defend. And my favorite that he said to me, cowboy boots are like hemorrhoids. Eventually, every asshole gets them. And you know where he told me that? Was out west, because he's now on InfoWars with Alex Jones. Yeah, man. And he's out there saying, fight the establishment. I'm like, you're the fucking establishment, Raj.
He couldn't be more of the establishment.
He couldn't be. I mean, look at what it's upside down. It's a washing money, right? Lie, 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 lie. And he's out there giving a testimony to a guy whose name he can't pronounce, calling him an American patriot, trying to raise, you know, money for Bundy's defense. He's talking about how the FBI wants to kill your children, that there's going to be a revolution if Trump gets impeached. And I say to him, dude, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You come out here to the middle, right, where people are hardcore and have guns and mean it. What are you doing?
And he said.
He got mad. Raj loves the press. That's when he comes out on the steps today with his Richard Nixon. You know what I mean? I'm not a crook. But he got mad because I'm just saying straight up, you're a fraud. I don't like what you're doing.
Do you think he just says shit and throws shit on the wall just to see what sticks kind of thing? Like, he'll just say anything?
One, it's rooted in money and power, isn't it? I mean, I don't think. But he also said it's better to have been infamous than not famous at all.
Yep. Wow.
So, you know, I got his number. Should I call him?
Yeah, call him.
Should give him a call.
Maybe a little tied up, but call him.
He might be a little tied up.
A little busy today?
In fact, he may be in a holding cell without his phone.
Again, he may not be. The way he walked out, you know,
Yeah.
That was quite confident.
And what's Cameron referring to is we just saw on CNN him coming out and giving a little press conference before he went into his, I guess, arraignment.
And he had, but he had like a...
Did it look like he was enjoying it?
Well, it almost looked like he had a fan circle around him. There was a guy behind him that said, Roger Stone did nothing wrong. He had a T-shirt on. So was this planned?
It seems like that must have been, because you don't... You don't wake up in the morning with my Roger Stone T-shirt and put it on.
Or do you?
Or maybe somebody does.
Is that his ringtone? His ring back? Wow. Mary, Mary.
That's no bullshit.
Hi. Sorry I missed your call. If you like, you can leave me a message at the tone, and I'll get back with you as soon as I can. So until then, you have a great day.
That's his...
At the tone, please record your message. Yep. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Raj, it's LaDuff. When you get a minute, you can give me a call back, but only if this is a secure line. All right? You got the number. Talk to you and good luck.
So he has the voice of what sounds like an African American.
Only if it's a secure line.
He's got an he's got a gospel song by Mary Mary.
Look at you! Yeah. See, you and Raj could do some work together.
Oh,
the guy's super. He's super.
Karen, he needs your help.
I told you about that.
Well, this whole thing's a shit show, man. It's a shit show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know where this leads, but I do know. I don't like where it's going because, again, you know what I was doing last weekend instead of being on Twitter? I was watching terrific Tom Brady and the New England Patriots beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and that thing was being broadcast across the world in a stadium of adult people doing this. Right?
True.
Then the next thing you know, I'm a day late on it. What's this white kid with the MAGA hat? So you tell me, because I've watched all this stuff. You tell me, Karen, what happened there? What did that mean?
You know, Charlie, there was a lot going on that day. First of all, I think it was the right to life. It was a March for Life.
Oh, there was a March for Life.
For
yeah.
Life. The
anti-abortion rally.
Anti-abortion rally. Students were there from Hillsdale visiting. And I don't even know if they were there specifically for the rally. There was the Indian group there.
From Hillsdale? You mean Covington.
I mean Covington. I'm sorry. The guy last night was from Hillsdale. And then you had a group of black Hebrew Israelites. And that part of the story didn't come out first. At first, all you saw was the student and the
Native American banging the drum.
And it appeared to be some sort of standoff. My understanding is that a teacher actually recorded that portion and put it on social media, and it immediately went viral because people were interpreting what they thought happened. Eventually, information continued to pour out. It didn't turn out to be the way that it appeared, but I know that there was some question about the Native American gentleman and his lack of consistency in the stories that he shared over the years. This isn't his first time in the spotlight. So for me, at a rally, when people are around, they're there to express their support or their opposition for an issue, and there's always the opportunity for a clashing of ideas or a clashing of, you know, passions, if you will.
There was nobody there, though. I mean, there wasn't a big throng of people. Why was this news? Why did news people go crazy? Why did Hollywood go crazy? Because there's a young white dude in a MAGA hat?
I think the optics.
Yeah, it's always the optics.
Is that this? How did this hat?
Well, it was the
symbolism of what that hat means, Charlie.
And a young white kid smirking right into the face of a Native American elder.
Getting in his face, like intimidating him.
But you couldn't tell.
That's what it looked like on the initial video that was.
That's what everybody was telling me when I picked up Twitter.
Right.
But you couldn't tell. That's what I'm saying. That was just, that was the picture. That was that moment in time frozen, but you had no idea what led up to it or what happened as a result. But we went with that image. That was enough. You know, here's this kid in this MAGA hat, and MAGA is now synonymous with hate in what appeared to be an antagonistic stance against a Native American gentleman.
And this is what we're doing. And nobody checked it out. And all of a sudden, everybody's on a perch, news organizations. We're following Twitter?
Wait, that's the truth.
That's what we're doing now?
Everyone got on a perch, yeah. Said, this is what happened.
Because now when you see it, I'll just be honest with you, and I'm a Native man. I carry a pipe. I was a firekeeper at American Indian Movement's Sundance. I mined my stone with Dennis Banks, one of the founders. You know, I'm white, too. I'm black, too. Take your pick. I'm a human. But now what I see is a group of men, black men, the Israelites, shouting racist, hateful things, not only at white people, but at Native people, totem worshipers, crack your ass, I'll put my foot up your ass. Has anybody bothered to get to the bottom of their behavior?
No, Charlie, because it took away from the original story. It changed the context of what was originally presented as fact. So, no.
And then the Native American elder, which is, look, the
Nathan Phillips from Ypsilanti.
Native American. Yeah, I left him a message. He's busy doing TMZ. But look, all busy. Older people are elders, just for the media. Okay, you don't got to fetishize us. He's an elder, yes. But you could say an African American elder or a Caucasian American elder, right?
It's also, somebody who's got some age.
It's like a fucking title for Indian people, right? And everybody loves Indian people till it's time to pay up. Everybody's Indian, if you notice, till it's time to pay up, right? But what I know about the drum is this. The drum in Native life is the center of the universe. It's the circle. That's how you communicate to God himself with the drum. So the drum is a peace thing. It's also a war thing. Can be a war thing. So when I'm seeing this, Native American elder gentleman, Nathan, walks up to a kid? It's the kid, right? That's the American Indian Movement song. That's like the anthem right there.
That's what he's playing.
Mm-hmm. You're bullying a kid, dude. You said you're trying to separate people. I didn't notice you go get in the hostile black man's face. I didn't see that. I didn't see any peacemaking there. I actually kind of appreciate the young man because he never moved in his way. The older man, the elder, who's to teach the youth, not to antagonize them, bully them, scare them. He didn't give him any words. The young man stood there with his hands behind his back, stood his ground without a gun. He stood there. He behaved properly. What you want him to do? What do you want a man, old, middle age or young, to do? Move? People don't like to be bullied to move. Okay, MAG is one thing. Bumper stickers, right? Flags. You're allowed to do that in this country. I saw nothing good by anybody there. In the white kids doing the tomahawk, chopping. What are we teaching them?
Good question, Charlie. What are
Where'd they learn that?
They learned it off of the TV with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Exactly, with the baseball game or whatever.
With Little Red Sambo, the Cleveland Indians. And did anybody, did Colin Kaepernick take a knee protesting the Washington Redskins? Because that's the N-bomb to Native people. Did anybody on that club refuse to play? No. Please. We're picking and choosing.
Well, and like we were saying, you know, the Nathan Phillips, the Native American elder, who claims, and I don't know, that he inserted himself between this group of young kids and the black Israelites to protect the kids. Why wasn't he facing the black Israelites?
Well, because then you feed into a whole nother level of stereotypes. So you've got this group that is looked upon as a group of angry black men.
Right.
Nobody's gonna touch that because there is a fear of the black man in America. So
say it, girl.
It's easier for them to confront each other. Although
It's better for the old red man to pick on a white kid.
Young white kid.
And vice versa, because, again, you know, did he insert himself? I mean, the kid, he looked a little afraid to me, but he also looked smirky off because his friends were behind him. You know how young kids are, mm-hmm. hey, you know, do this, and they're egging them on. So it was just a lot going on, but you're seeing the result of another stereotype. If those black Hebrew Israelites were the contributing factor for this initial confrontation, nobody said anything to them.
And you know, fear of a black man, why? I have no fear of a black man.
Well, you don't, Charlie, but America does.
Well, goddamn, get over it.
Well,
and stand up to it.
That's why.
Where's the adults here?
You see so many shootings.
Well, there weren't any
Charlie,
adults there.
I mean, you know how this story goes. I mean, you know, how many black men have been murdered basically out of fear when you have white active shooters that are taken to Burger King on their way to jail? So there is a fear of black men. You saw the guy that just pled guilty that went to New York from Maryland and killed a 66-year-old black man and said he came to New York to specifically kill a black person so he could incite a race war. Yeah. So, yeah.
I see, you know, hey, listener, I agree with that. I just agree with that.
With what?
With what you're saying. I mean, look, and
how underreported was that story?
Very quiet.
It's very quiet. And you're like, really?
Read Envy of the World by Ellis Coase. And it talks about America's intimidation or feeling of threat by the African-American male. It's been out for a long time. If you don't have it, I'll bring you a copy.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because white guys like myself, we run everything. What are you so fucking afraid of?
That's true.
Yeah, you know, but they are.
Well, because, and we're getting into a whole other conversation, but certainly is one that we can have. You know, African Americans or black people have been made to believe that they're less than what they are, but in actuality, they're more than what they are. And so there is that threatening factor that if the playing field were equal, that African Americans would certainly have a more prominent and influential role in this country than they have.
And I think people deep down recognize that, but what like do with the Make America Great hat again? They're not all the same. A lot of them are saying, "Me too." Like you don't what privilege? I'm from Warren. The factory left. All I ever did was work.
But the reality, Charlie, is that if you
that can, is the reality, Karen.
That's one reality.
Yes, it is.
But if you walk into a store, you're, and I don't mean you specifically, but that person is still white and will receive a completely different perspective or looked on differently than if they're black. The economics are notwithstanding. That's true.
But there's you know, it's like, well, who's got it worse? Is that what we're doing?
I think white people get that.
I think a lot of that's true for women as well.
For women,
because
white people get that. Like you,
white guys are the number one.
What did the guy tell us at breakfast last week? Remember the story the guy told us at breakfast, and he was surprised because I said something.
I don't remember.
The guy came.
I don't even remember the goddamn breakfast. Holy shit!
It was pretty good, Charlie. We were sitting there, and all your fans were all over the place, so we couldn't eat. But
oh yeah, yeah, the breakfast.
Now you remember. But the guy came up and he talked about during the Kilpatrick administration that he was trying to get people in the IT department, and he said, and the director kept pushing the resume back, saying that person's not dark enough. He said, I didn't know that kind of racism existed.
Oh, the white guy.
Yeah,
when
the
he
white
couldn't
guy.
Get work.
And I said, that's not racism. I said, you know, white people do that all the time. They just don't say anything about it. And he kind of looked. And then Charlie said, she's right. You know, he said, that happens. That's not everybody.
No, I didn't.
That's systemic racism.
That is racism.
Yeah.
That is racism.
And that happens all the time.
That is racism. But see, that racism has developed as an antidote to previous racism. That's like what affirmative action is. But again, when you do that, when you put somebody in front of somebody else because of the color of his skin, nobody likes it. I think what I said to the guy was, how's it feel, Whitey?
Looked shocked.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but for I just remember what it's like to be 16. Yeah. And, you know, I'm looking at those 16-year-olds, and they're like primates. They're like young chimps. And when young chimps feel threatened, what do? Bang on the chest. They make demonstrative noise. Right? That's what little fellas do. I'm just asking, in this country, where's the big fellas?
Don't know, Chad.
Now everybody's got to delete their shit. Nobody even wants to say, man, I should slow down, take a look at myself. Ask myself, you know, Hollywood and media centers, do you even circulate in real life? Do you know us?
No, they don't.
Or are we going to do that?
They don't. They really don't.
What you doing, Bob? Calling Woody? Okay.
Woody's a good guy.
Well, and then again, you know, there are more important stories. Like, people aren't eating.
That's true.
Government shut down.
And I know you aren't on Twitter much, Charlie, but hashtag shutdown stories. And people are sharing what this shutdown is doing to their families and the impact that it's having on them. Quite interesting to read.
Well, you want to fill us in? I mean, Jesus.
Well, I mean, just, you know, people
Do you know anybody?
Not personally, no. I mean, but people are talking about not being able to have food, you know, not being able to afford to meet to pay their mortgages, gas for their vehicles, taking their parents or children back and forth to the doctor, their co-pays, just normal everyday stuff. You know, most people in America have less than $1,000 in savings. And, you know, that's what we talked about with Nowicki. Is that his name?
Yeah, Luke.
Yeah, Luke.
Nowacki.
Nowacki. I'm sorry. I'm giving him another name. But they have less than $1,000 in savings. But this country is being run by an elite 1%. You saw our commerce secretary yesterday. Well, you may not have. But he's telling everybody to go get a loan.
Yep.
And then Donald Trump tries to interpret that and say, hey, just go to the market. And they'll let you have your groceries because they know you're good for it.
They'll let you go along.
Where does that happen?
What is this, like Brooklyn 1900?
It doesn't happen anywhere.
I don't know where that is. But those are people that have no idea how the average American lives.
But $1,000, I don't know, Bob. What would happen to you if, like, you missed two paychecks?
Oh, I can't miss two paychecks. If I miss two paychecks, I'm dipping into my savings, and I have the $1,000 of savings. Mm-hmm. And so that would last me maybe another week or so. And then after that, I've got to go into my 401k, or I can't miss paychecks.
Right.
But Most people can't.
But you have just that little bit of cushion. A lot of these people don't have, because they are literally living check to check.
Right.
And their expenses are absorbing all of their checks. So, you know, that's not a good place to be.
It's a horrible place to be.
It is. And it's unfortunate for people that are hardworking, that go to work every day, and that deserve to be paid. But a good point came out last night. What does the government shutdown have to do with the wall? Why are people being held hostage for Trump to get a wall?
Like, connect the two.
Yeah, but connect the two.
But to go back to what you were saying about Wilbur Ross, how much more out of touch can you be?
I don't know.
Because what he said tells me you've never been to a grocery store. Because a grocery store is not going to be like, okay, you got all these groceries, get me next week. They're not.
This isn't Mayberry.
No.
It's not. So, well, that was Donald Trump's interpretation of Ross. Ross said go get a loan. He said go to a credit union or a bank, and they'll give you a loan because basically this is federally insured, you know, it's guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. Really?
They didn't do that in Mayberry. I mean, they didn't. So
then why don't they just set up a federal loan program until the federal government pays you your paycheck?
Because they can't.
I thought somebody did. I heard the tail end of that the other day, but it was at like, you know, 9-10%. So why not just pay them?
No, how about this? How about just opening back up the goddamn government?
That would be a good start.
Get in there and start negotiating this shit in good faith.
I say open the government and then go back to try to figure out how to get this wall thing done. One has nothing to do with the other.
It is amazing, like, because the federal job is a pretty good job. Doesn't pay poverty wages, mm-hmm. Got pensions, and nobody's got any money in the bank.
People, you know, everybody's in
debt. Lots of people live paycheck to paycheck.
They do, you know, and some paychecks may be bigger than others, but for the most part, people are living paycheck to paycheck.
Maybe we should, you know, I mean, you probably got a 401k you could tap into, and then you're going to get killed there. That's where you mm-hmm. put your savings.
Yep.
Right? Or, you know, maybe it's time to rethink how you're planning for your future. Because, you know, maybe, this is Luke Nowacki right here, right?
Maybe it's time to think about working for the federal government. I think if it was me, I'd be like, yeah, I'm out.
Dude, increasingly, you know,
where would they go?
To me like jobs are going to just be.
They're driving Uber and waiting tables now.
Air traffic controllers are driving Uber.
Yeah.
And then you show up to work tired.
That's true.
Now you got to divert traffic.
Or you can do like the airport and like LaGuardia did today. Shut it down.
Shut it down.
So this is, look, this is important. If you listen to this, what Luke's telling you here. This is real now. Think about this. Some of us are prepared with our finances right now, but might not be as prepared as we need to be when planning for our future financial obligations or unexpected emergencies or events. Think about this. Nobody thought they'd be in this position a couple months ago. Whether it be pension planning, life insurance, college savings plans, or tax-deferred investments, Luke Nowacki can help answer all your questions and help plan your future finances. To all our first responders, let's make sure your pension is going to be enough. You keep us secure every day. Let us help plan for your future. Everybody that's working, think about it. I met Luke. He's not a shiesty guy. He's a cool guy with a heart.
Bankrolled the meal for the first responders.
He partially did. I'm out of pocket. Need some credit. But he did. Call Luke. 248-663-4748. I'm telling you, you won't regret it. 248-663-4748 to set up a plan today. No heavy sales job. No pressure. He's not going to show up to your house.
And you don't need to start with a lot of money. That's the other thing. No matter what you're making or what you think you don't have, you can start somewhere.
Absolutely. And, you know, a 401k, you can put your dollar in there. You know, after you get taxed, you get about 60 cents left. Mm-hmm. A 401k, you get to keep the buck. If there's a match, like say 25 cents on your buck, that's $1.25. If the market does anything, you turned 60 cents into $1.50.
You'd be amazed at what you can save, though, Charlie. I mean, people say, oh, what's $5? What's $2? My daughter collected the change lying around the house and different things.
Mm-hmm.
She had $700. I mean, it's easy to just, you know, so start somewhere.
Well, it's not easy, but start. I should say security and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. Good for you, Luke. Ed Zaney, Zaney Law Offices in Detroit, Grand Rapids, and Lansing, specializing in criminal defense, civil rights, and personal injury. 517-292-7000. When things get zany, call Ed Zaney. You know what I'm saying? What we got there? Can we do this? I got to go to the bathroom. Can we take a break? Yeah, thank you. We'll be right back.
And you washed your hands.
That's a personal question. Which, by the way, okay, once I was doing a story in New York about what it is like to be blind. And so I lived blind with a blind musician. I went to the blind school and wore patches on my eyes. And a guy took me to the toilet. He goes, you need to wash your hands. I said, I didn't piss on him. I washed all my junk this morning. I took a shower. Why would I have to wash my hands?
Don't say that, Charlie.
It's different for boys, Karen.
No, everybody should wash their hands.
You're very finicky.
No.
I'm going to go with Karen. I think you should wash your
Maybe
hands.
Maybe I did. It's very personal.
Well, sure.
But you know what? In public restrooms, I see women walking out of the stall right out of the door. I'm like,
that's
why, you know, you don't want to shake hands. Just wave across the street.
Give them
Don't touch doorknobs.
The thoughtful nod.
Yeah.
Yes, I washed my hands, as far as you know.
Okay. We'll take your word.
All right. Look, here's the thing. Bob, thanks for the mention earlier in the week, because you know, dude, when we started this, and then Karen came a little later, that I wanted to do my own news. Like, you know, shows, podcasts, everybody.
And no bullshit.
And no bullshit, right? No boss. You're able to do what you think is the truth and what's correct, your own analysis. It pays a whole lot less, but it's rewarding. It's upstream, but eventually there's a bend in the stream and it's downstream. So Steve Neveling and I, Muckraker and Deadline Detroit, these crime statistics are statistics represent people. And for years, we've been treated to this miraculous world record drop in crime every year. And when you notice these numbers ping-ponging, it's like, this doesn't look right, nor does it feel right. We took a million 911 calls. We took police dispatch records, reports. We listened to transmissions for weeks, right? We talked to cops and citizens and firefighters. And I'm sorry, go there. It doesn't match. This is not my invented data. It's the data that's the raw data that anybody, any reporter, any citizen can get on the city's website.
Any citizen can feel when they call the cops.
Yeah. And so, you know, we killed them. Look, the assistant chief of police was on the show. He couldn't quite get it together. He told you that priority two calls, which are emergency, you could be bleeding, the perp could still be around, it's a serious crime, rape, assault, robbery, shooting, that it was 23 minutes. 23, which is not good anyway. But when we got to the data and you put it in Excel and it says priority two, they have response times that are zero, called officer-initiated stops, okay?
That's a cop pulling somebody over.
Yeah. When you take the zeros out, the response to these very serious crimes are 54 and a half minutes, not 23 minutes.
That's not a response. That's an afterthought.
When you take priority one, which is, you know, shooting in progress, he's still there, somebody's right now being hurt, that plus two is, what was our number? 38 minutes when you put the two most serious calls together. For priority one, it's 14 minutes plus. For shootings in progress, it's 18 minutes. 18. I'm sorry.
What's the national average, Charlie?
The national standard.
Standard.
They try to make it 8 minutes. New York, they're complaining in New York about the increasing times. It's 9 minutes, and they add priority one, two, and three. In place like Austin, they're starting to complain it's over 10. That's for all of them. Ours is 40. It's not good enough. It's not, I'm just going to say it, it's not believable. And when we put it out there, is anybody going to check what we did? Because that's what a healthy society does.
Well, you're checking.
Yeah, but okay, is it going to be part of the conversation? Because those are the numbers I'm using.
We're making it part of the conversation.
That's right. So I would like to welcome in Mike Woody, who is the, what was your title, Mike?
Second, I was Director of Media Relations.
For the Detroit Police Department, you were second. What was your rank?
My official rank is second deputy chief.
Second deputy chief in charge of community relations. So you're the message man.
PR guy for the cops.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I was the message man, yeah.
Yeah, and when you're not here to, like, dump all over anybody in particular or anything because, you know, you're living a life and you're a gentleman. But am I wrong, Mike? Am I wrong that these numbers are – everywhere, is there, what is, am I wrong, first of all?
Well, you're not entirely wrong, no, but I think it's important to understand that these numbers are really only a representation of a snapshot in time and really aren't meant to be digested by the general public. These numbers are just, you know, there's so many variables to take into consideration. For example, as you said, you downloaded this information into an Excel spreadsheet. Well, when you start sorting through that data, you're looking for specific information. You create in your mind this algorithm, so to speak, and so you start moving numbers around and taking things out and putting them in. There's a human variable that has to be factored into that, which means that mistakes are going to happen. Does that mean that anybody's intentionally lying about anything? I don't believe that's the case.
No.
I think that when you take all the variables and factors and you put them into the equation, I think what you're going to come out with is that the system is flawed. It's been flawed. It will hopefully get better, I understand that the department has acquired a new technology or a new system that will better track some of this information. But I really don't think that that the information that has been put out is intentionally misleading. I think it creates a great snapshot view of what's going on. I'm of the opinion that, you know, that information is really more for the department executives to, for example, if they see a spike in crime in a particular neighborhood, they can use that information to scale down and create programs to address those issues, more so than it is to really give a exact idea of what is happening there.
Yeah, but see, I don't believe that, because one time we'll be told the numbers keep changing. First of all, they just keep changing, new system or not. They kept happening. So 1 year, there were this many victims. And all of a sudden, you look the next year, and that number of victims changed, not by a little, by a lot, right? And you were here for that famous 15% drop, remember, in 2015? And then the chief's standing there, and there's a barricaded man in the background, and he's telling the FBI he's all wrong. Those are the numbers that the department gave to the FBI, right? So,
right.
I mean, your job, dude, was coming out of bankruptcy. We need this thing to look good for a mayor. We're making good progress, right? That was your job.
Sure, absolutely.
Did we, for the people and for the rank and file, we didn't make the sort of progress that we're being treated to. Do you agree with that?
To some degree, yes. Not entirely, but yes.
Well, let me ask you this, Woody. What's the purpose of disclosing this information to the public if it has no relevancy to the average resident? So why is there regular disclosure of those statistics as opposed to just coming out saying, you know, this is where we are and these are the programs that we're either going to implement or amend to make our city safe? I mean, because to me, it just kind of throws everybody into either a false sense of security or a false sense of fear.
Right. So great question. So those numbers are put out because it is a demand and a request by media, by the general public, and it's public information. So people have the right to know this stuff. The issue isn't why we give it to them. It's how it's being used. So, for example, a lot of the detailed information that was provided in terms of the statistical data was citywide. Even if you scale down to a specific neighborhood, unless you live on that block, you wouldn't notice the decrease in crime. So let's say, for example, we throw out any kind of decrease in them, say 15%, fine. Where did that 15% wholly come from? I think, Charlie, if you look back in the numbers, and please don't quote me because it's been a year and a half since I've been there, but if you look back at the numbers, I'm quite sure that number find the best from the 9th precinct in the east side of the city.
But the number's not true, but because I ran the numbers.
Okay.
You know?
So again, I can run this data set of numbers as well and probably get a different component than what you came up with. Because once you put that stuff into an Excel spreadsheet and you start moving things from columns to columns, it loses its integrity. Because now you have a human variable that you have to take into consideration because you are creating mental algorithms of things that you want to see. And so, therefore, the raw data, the information, loses integrity. But again, it's a flawed system.
You're saying it's depending on how you want to count it?
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, with that in mind, the system itself is just, it's flawed. And so therein lies the problem, and that's why the city of Detroit and the police department have been battling this misconception of bad numbers for decades. This isn't anything new. We've been doing this forever.
Right.
As the director, every 6 months, I had to get up in front of sometimes you, Charlie, and some of your colleagues and explain why our numbers were different than the FBI's when we're the ones supplying the numbers to the FBI. it's unbelievable.
It's a tough place to be.
It's because they count numbers differently than we do. State of Michigan State Police accounts numbers than we did.
That's what I'm saying.
So what's
there's
the truth?
All kind, so what needs to happen is what I've been saying for a long time is that we all need to be on the same page. There needs to be one mandated federal reporting system where every police department, because, you're only required or mandated if you have a certain population number. And so the smaller departments aren't required to report.
Yeah, and you know what? It's all voluntary. There's no penalty.
Absolutely. Here.
And last year the FBI refused to accept the numbers from the first half of 17, right?
Right.
They were so out of whack, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's not me. That's statisticians for the FBI.
Right.
I mean, that's absolutely. Why.
I have a question, Mike. Why don't they use the same numbers? Why doesn't Detroit report the number that the MSP accepts, that the FBI accepts? Why do they all have different numbers?
That they require, well, not
that they require.
They require
right.
To be counted. Right. Detroit refuses to do it.
And maybe you don't know. I don't know, but
I know.
Well, I don't know for certain, but during my time there, the best response that I had got was that by crime differently. What we would consider aggravated assault, they would consider some other type of crime based on their definition of that crime. And so therefore statistic from one column to another.
Mike, you're breaking up.
The state of Michigan.
You're in the mountains, aren't you, Mike?
You're driving somewhere.
In the damn mountains.
Yeah, I am.
Son of a
hold on
bitch.
One quick second.
He's in between cell towers for sure.
So where is he these days? Not here, I take it.
How's this, guys? Any better?
Oh, that's
much
awesome.
Better.
What'd you do? What is the fucking car wash now?
It was much better, and then it got entirely worse.
What's he doing? Is he
I can't hear you, Mike.
Oh, he put us in his... Oh, you got the... What's that, the Bluetooth or whatever?
Oh, it's not working.
Hey, Mike, listen here. I want to ask you something. One last one, because this... Okay, you know what? While we... Let's put Joe on and see if we can get... Okay, so here's the thing. We sent Joe...
So are we saying goodbye to Mike?
Don't put him down. Let's just let him mumble.
We don't
need to get Joe. Let's just put on his tape. Let's set up what Joe did last night. So...
Is he talking?
It sounds to me like he is.
I don't think he can hear us either.
All right, fuck it. Just dial him down, but leave him on the line. So here's the thing. We sent Joe. Yeah, get rid of that. We sent Joe to a chief of police public meeting on crime after we sent put all these statistics out. And it's going to be a Kabuki theater.
Oh, it was Kabuki.
Yeah, but I'm real proud of Joe here.
He's doing good.
He is. I mean, he knew his stuff. He got
prepared.
He got right up front there.
Yep.
Right? He was clean. Wore a suit.
You have on a tie?
He had on a beret and a tie.
Ooh,
he looked like Gallagher, I'm told, from my mole there. And here's what I haven't heard of, but let's hear what Joe did.
By the end of the first quarter, we think we'll be in every precinct. And so we're going to continue to push that because we think it really matters. So with that, I'm going to open it up for any questions you might have. Yes, sir.
I'm Joe DeMarco with No BS News. I got a couple of questions for you, three of them, but one of them is the crime numbers, violent crime numbers that you've reported recently
yes.
seem to indicate a downward trend from 2014 until 2018.
Yes.
These were recently provided numbers. However, when compared to numbers that you provided to the state police in each of those years, there's a big difference in those numbers.
That's factually not correct. We reported one year, and this is something we constantly go back and forth on. We reported one year that because of an outdated computer-aided or computer system that didn't work very well, we reported that the numbers that they had were lower than what we're trying to report. So if we're trying to manipulate data, if that's the underlying question, the issue is this. We tried to report that the numbers weren't correct because they were actually
okay,
higher.
That was 2015, right?
I don't have the data in front
okay,
of me.
Okay, well, I remember, and the numbers you reported for 2017, there's a 566 violent crime difference between what you've recently reported and what you have told the state police.
I will also tell you, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but let me just remind you, oh, you probably don't know this. Last year, the state police came to our records management folks and gave us an award. They gave us an award for how, with our new tracking system, how we analyze data. That was last year, last quarter of last year. That's a fact. I don't have the award with me to show you, but it's there.
Okay, the other question is, you've recently reported a 60% closure rate in homicides, and...
It was actually, last year, it was actually 52%.
Okay.
It wasn't 60. We have in the past,
now,
we're up to 60.
Why is it that the Washington Post...
Sir, I'm sorry, sir. We're going to, in the interest of time, we're going to go allow some of the other citizens to ask questions at this point. Thank you. Thank you.
Can I talk to you later?
I'm going to be leaving right after this meeting. I have another engagement. So, again, thank all of you.
Number one.
Oh, how
are you?
Hi.
Hey, you know, all of your vacation plans.
I want to get one more question off of Mr. Commissioner. Your chief.
I know he's on his way out.
Well, I want to ask him this question. Well, I was going to ask him about his relationship with Casper Fiore. You don't have the answer, so that's why I wanted to catch it. Excuse me. Can I just ask the chief one last question?
Chief's gone. You there, Joe?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a slippery guy, man. He's hard to get because he ran out the door and his boys held the door shut so I couldn't get him.
Well, that's you listen.
Cop held me back while they went out the door, and then when they got out the door, his boys held the door shut while he ran to the car.
Well, Joe, you got him. What did you make of his answers?
You got it, Joe.
You feel you got it's your answers?
It was bullshit. It was fake. It was fake news. He was going over that 2015 fiasco. I was specifically not going to ask him about that particular year. I brought up the most recent year, which there's no controversy about, except that his numbers, what he told us, doesn't match what he told the state police. Now, what I should have said, were you lying to us or was you lying to the police? Because lying to the police is a felony. So,
no, to federal agents, Joe. Lying to federal agents.
Well, lying to the police is a crime, too.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm filing false. Yeah, well, there you go. Work on. But that is interesting in the sense you brought it up and he said, do you want to see the award?
Yeah.
Do you want to see the award?
He brought up, so, you know, kids get awards for failing, just for participation awards when they fail something. So don't be too proud of himself about, you know, an award for what, record keeping, because they finally learned how to keep records. We gave you an award. And attaboy, you finally learned how to count. Yeah.
Well, again, with the new system, those numbers were in dispute and the FBI wouldn't accept them at first, right?
Right. So why would the state give him an attaboy for that?
Well, they gave him an attaboy because maybe you finally got your room clean. But it doesn't it doesn't address, you know, he said this year it's 52% the closure rate. That's not true. They have a statistic and he knows it. The closure rate was 37%. That's when an arrest was made for a murder and a murder committed in 2018. But they're adding arrests for murders in other years into this year. You see the game?
And I might want to add that had that dude on the left not tried to shut me down while I was trying to ask the second question, I could have stung him and the local media in one question by saying, if I want to learn how Chief Craig's fries his hamburgers at a pregame show and at a tailgate party, I could turn on the local TV station and see that. But if I want actual numbers, statistics of closure rates, I got to call in an out-of-town newspaper like the Washington Post to tell me that your closure rates are really only 40%.
Right. And you know what you did? Here's what happened.
Look at Joe.
You called out the bullshit.
And once you asked Joe, guess what happened? Local media said, one guy said from the radio, just to piggyback on what he was asking, that's what you did. Joe,
right.
That's what you did, you Specs Howard motherfucker.
Good job, Joe.
You did. You knew your stuff. Oh, and when you went to go see the chief, I was told all the cameramen and women probably took their cameras off their tripods and started following you to see what was going to happen. So you did. You did really. See, you sound bright, like you were into it. This is your community. And every man is a smart man. You did right. good, dude. You're really getting there.
Abe Lincoln said you could fool some of the people some of the time, but these people in Detroit ain't stupid as you think they are.
Abe Lincoln said that?
Well, I had to paraphrase a little bit.
Just make
we'll go with that as a quote.
Right.
All right, Joe.
Let me
it's
ask
nice.
You this, Charlie. What should residents hear? What numbers, just clear-cut numbers, should they know in order to measure their safety or to know, you know, just what numbers are they?
Okay, here's what you will know. We have 150 openings in the police department we cannot fill. They do not pay. We have less cops working than we ever have. On any given night, there'll be three cars working a precinct when pre-bankruptcy it was anywhere from 5 to 6, and that wasn't enough, which is why we went bankrupt.
And 911 calls are going up, right?
911 calls went up, and yet the crime numbers went down. Arrests are down 40%. Okay. The response time for a priority one, as we told you, in progress and dangerous, and somebody could be apprehended, medical attention may be needed, is 14 minutes plus. Not 12 and a half, not 11 and a half. That went up a full minute from last year, from 17. That's what happened. For a priority two, it's 54 minutes. If it's priority one or two, it's 38 minutes. If it's a gunshot in progress, it's 18 minutes.
Gunshot in progress.
In progress.
So an active shooter.
All we did, we didn't do anything but said, shooting in progress. There's no manipulation. Boom. That's what you call it. Put it in, press, sigma, boom, there's the number. That's the number. Nowhere when we're talking about the firemen waiting, firefighters, pardon me, waiting for police to come as they roll up accidentally on an active homicide scene, and the chief will come out straight-faced and say 6 minutes. Nowhere. I listened to that whole night of tape, all the dispatches, EMS, fire, police. I have all the reports. I have all the 911 logs. I'm mapping it. I talked to everybody involved just about. No way is there any 6 minutes. You don't say that to the people. What we have
is no units available.
Is no units available. That, you know, what you need to know is what you feel, that what you feel is true, that what the people say is true. What you, as a Detroiter, Karen, you know it. And it doesn't jibe with what you watch on TV, which isn't a good gauge, or how you live. And now you know. And here's the next thing. Come to Deadline Detroit Monday morning. SIGTARP, Special Investigator General for the Troubled Asset Relief Program, Treasury, has dropped, I got at least 9 subpoenas here on the demolition shit. This time, it's what I wrote about, the dirt. Was the dirt contaminated to fill these holes? Where did it come from? Was it poisoned? We have 10,000 holes that we filled. We don't know if it came from the highway. The feds now want to know. And if that's the case, if it's contaminated, this was called by the EPA, the same office that was supposed to overlook Flint, the largest environmental urban project in the history of the United States. What will it cost us to dig all that up? Will we go bankrupt again over fucking up a federal program and everybody getting their fingers in it?
Poisoning the city.
Is it how we got there in the first place?
I got it right here.
Yeah.
Right here. They did it on a Friday night at a 5:30 in a government shutdown. They're working. Maybe there's a time element. Because according to the Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890, you got 5 years from the commission of it. So 5 years, the beginning of this bullshit, would be this summer. I'm not joking, man. This, you don't hear it. You're not hearing it, Michigan. You're not hearing. This is the truth right here. Here they are.
Well, why are we not hearing? Is it because most people, like, they didn't care about Flint, don't care about Detroit?
It compromises the narrative.
Oh, man, we did not hear about Flint. But let me just read you some of my favorite prose, and then we'll go back to that. Subpoena duces tecum. That means bring this shit to court. Bring it to the grand jury. Here's another one. Whereas the Special Inspector General of the TARP has information which indicates that you may have information relevant to material to an ongoing investigation. Or my favorite, in all caps, you are hereby commanded to produce all the dirt. Where you got it, where you put it, what you paid for it, who hauled it, who paid you, who you paid. I mean, they're not fucking around.
Whose lap does this fall in, ultimately?
This falls in the mayor's lap. He
Not
sat there.
Duggan's lap, yeah.
Well, he sat there and took credit. He's the one talking about, it was the dirt. I know everything. My guys are stupid. Talk to me. Oh, it's on you, dude. And the last time I wrote about this, I got yet another threatening legal document. You keep sending them. I stand by this. It started with me. It's going to end with me. Why? Why do I do this? Because this is how all of it's going. Look at the police data. Look at the demo data. You want to look at how the real estate deals are getting done? Ladies and gentlemen of the suburbs and the state, you're part of this. It's your money.
It's our money.
That's your capital city. That's your night out. We must be together. We all want better government, and nobody thinks we got good government. And if we can't do it, what's the point? See, what Woody was going to do until he crapped out was tell us how he would locate the patsies in the media, groom them, bring them in. It's the discussion we had this morning. Know that they would put out what he wanted. And that's how it works. And if nobody's going to challenge it, or not challenge it, how about look into it?
Or ask questions.
Look what Joe did.
Well, and you can't blame them. They want to get their story out, and that's how they're going to run it. I respect that. But media failed, you know.
Let me say this.
They put up their dumbest people and said, okay, go.
Let me say this. I had to deal with Charlie when I was in the mayor's office. And even though, you know, I mean, it was never a negative or contentious relationship, I had to respect the fact that Charlie was doing his job and he was doing his homework. Right. Charlie never just took what anybody said, what anybody handed him, what anybody gave him. And I respected that about you, Charlie. I mean, I did.
But you weren't trying to lie to Charlie, were you?
No, we weren't trying to lie. I mean, we did not lie. But again, if I'm giving you four fingers and you know I have a hand, Charlie said, okay, the four fingers are all good. Where's the thumb? And that's a legitimate question that deserves to be answered.
That's a good way to say it. Like, it's by omission, Joe. This is Joe's part of your education. It's not a lie to say there's four fingers.
Right.
But it's omission to not let anybody know your thumb got chopped off. And I'm noticing there's no thumb there. What happened to the fucking thumb?
Exactly.
That's how.
But it is a lie to tell the state police that there's 1,500 and some crimes and then tell the public that there's only 1,400 and some crimes, 500 and some difference in the number of crimes.
Well, let's put it like this, Joe. Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
That's not missing a thumb.
No, here's the thing, Joe. What you say is the numbers, like what the chief said about 6 minutes, is untrue because he might believe it to be the truth.
Or inaccurate.
Inaccurate. Or he was told by his underlings that was the case. Like, there's a difference between lying and bullshitting. And to me, bullshitting scarier. Because a lie, you know what's going on.
Bullshitting says you don't know.
You don't know what's going on.
Right.
So it's bullshit. And that's scary. You know, so the numbers are inaccurate. They keep moving.
You think Craig's bullshitting because he doesn't know what's going on?
There's no other way. Look, dude.
He doesn't strike me as being that stupid.
We did the data.
He knows what's going on.
I don't know what he's looking at.
Well, but who's doing the data for them? And what are they coming up with? I mean,
he's got a boss that tells them certain things.
No, I'm saying, is that research or that examination of the data as thorough as what Charlie and Steve have done? I mean, that's a legitimate question. Or is somebody skimming over it and pulling it out to make them look good.
Well, read the stories.
You're supposed to be reporting this to the state police. That's an official document.
Okay, Joe, take it easy. Take it easy, Joe. What are you, fucking Perry Mason all of a sudden? Take it easy. You don't even know that. You just, see, don't bullshit news. You're not sure. It's not that simple. These are voluntary numbers, okay? They're voluntary. It's what they call, what's the word, Bob? When, we're going to take your word for it. It's a take your word for it sort of deal.
The honor system.
Honor system, exactly. Wow, look at that.
Look at Joe.
Yes, sir, man. So it's an honor system. There are no penalties, and maybe there should be. Because in the 80s, when the transit chief in New York City got caught faking his numbers, he was gone. Or fudging them, or smoothing them, or whatever you want to call this. See, we're all sick of it.
But who would do that?
Well, it might be voluntary to report it, but once you report on an official city document, if it's falsified, that's another crime.
Dude, look, don't make me fire you again. That's not true. But I know what you're saying. It's an outrage, right? And if you're found to continually do it, you should lose your job. Say that. Say what you know. That's the key here. Here's what I know. It's 54 and a half. It ain't 23. Now, sorry, Woody got dropped out. Dude, you don't think I called him a bunny, Woody? Did you want to work? You don't think I know people up in the office now? You don't think I'm hooked in all this shit?
Of course you are, Charlie.
He knows. I'm hooked into Woody. All this shit Woody says. But he knows. He's working elsewhere. He's a gentleman, so you can't... Yeah.
And you got to respect that, too.
I do.
True that.
You got to understand a lot of people around these parts are afraid to speak up and out. I often hear two sets of conversations when people talk about this administration because there is a legitimate fear of being shut down and out. So, if you have that type of pushback or recoil, people are apprehensive or very careful about what they say and to whom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just...
Because this bear don't play.
You guys want me to hear a little bit of this, what I wrote?
Sure.
Because I write to Johnny Lawman, right? It's a little ongoing thing I have. That way I'm communicating with the feds because, they don't pick up the phone, right? So this is how I communicate with them. And last time I wrote a Dear Johnny letter about the dirt, 6 months later they're here for the dirt, 5 months later. Okay, so I write, Dear Johnny, I'm pleased to see you receive my letters this past summer about the suspicious demolition dirt used to fill the holes where dilapidated houses used to stand. It could possibly be contaminated soil. Think of the impact on the city's children if that's true, Johnny. An unpleasant and devastating thought. I got a hold of the new subpoenas you sent this month to all the demo contractors, 9 by my count, asking for original documents regarding the who's, the what's, the where's, the when's, and the how much's. You've got contractors and politicals running scared, Johnny. One of them told me with real concern, we made half a highway disappear. If they're serious, we'd have to dig up thousands of holes because nobody really knows exactly where we put it.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
We shall see.
Oh, here's one. I reached out to the general counsel of the Detroit Land Bank Authority, which owns the properties and pays for the demos, Johnny. But it turns out the general counsel of the land bank quit, poofed, took another job. The land bank's director of inventory, likewise, beat it for the door last month. They're all gone.
Wonder why.
This is serious. So now you know. Now, are Detroit houses really worth 12% more? What's the methodology?
Not if they're on poisonous soil.
Well, but you're looking at a massaging of numbers again.
I sat up late, though. You know what this... Look, here's why they reassessed. Because the Detroit News, not bullshit, Christine McDonald, an excellent reporter, went through all the property values. 100,000 people lost their homes in those foreclosures. Mm-hmm. Many of them couldn't pay their taxes because it was assessed too high.
Yeah.
Too high. So the state required the city finally, first time in 50 years, go reassess those babies, right? In 2013 and 14, the assessment fell 50%. So what is this 12% from? What time period? And did you lower the values before you raised them? Get what I'm saying?
I got you.
Here's what really happens. Looks good. Sounds great. Right? Got a good bang for your buck. More kabuki theater. People's taxes don't go up because you're locked into your taxes for what you paid for it. That's the Headley Amendment, right? But what this does, and nobody's talking about, for those people who believe their homes are overvalued, they can't fight to get their taxes lowered like the rest of us do. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, it's worth 12%. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can't. There's a guy. It's in the New York Times.
So basically you're fucked.
Yeah. So he buys one of these fucking houses at auction for $2,500. He shows up on the tax rolls. The thing's worth $50,000. You're paying for a $25,000 house because that's how our taxes work. Throw the first half of the value off. I think he lost it. I don't know the specifics, but he got it back or bought another one. No, he got it back. And they reassessed it for $10,000. But bought it.
$2,500?
Right.
How is that work?
So now if we're calling it $10,000, you can't bite those taxes.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Well, there's stuff. Whenever you see stuff like this, there's other stuff. Because politics is always a negotiation.
The interesting thing from my perspective is that every week, at least, there's some huge announcement. There's constant, look at what we've done, you know, the whole ribbon cutting, baby kissing thing.
Yes.
And that, to me, does very little for the reality of the infrastructure that's necessary to rebuild and sustain this city.
Well, I suspect this, because everybody's heading for the door. The Corporation Council, the CFO, you know, the head of jobs and economic development, land bank general counsel, the inventory, everybody's going out the door. So I'd love to see a ribbon cutting. I'd love to see an announcement. But look here. These are the subpoenas. Maybe we need ribbon cutting. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm just doing my job. But you cannot say that the feds aren't up here and they're not going wild. Because
for a reason.
We shall see. Now remember, without each other, we don't got nothing. Stop fighting, right? Let's get together, demand better, and let's just compromise. So this country's great at. Let's compromise. All right? Sorry if we bored you there with the numbers, but this is what I do with my underpants. I do, and you know it, Bob.
Thanks for that vision.
Bob, you know it. We could take these things with pictures and make them interesting.
Yeah.
And consumable.
Okay, so maybe we need to add some visual stuff to the podcast. Let's look at how we grow it.
We talk about it because we got sponsors in line now.
And people respond to pictures. They respond to visuals. So let's look at that.
All right. Anyway, I'm going to leave you with this.